I'd like now to introduce Standard Chafer, who has come from San Francisco. He was living in L.A. until very recently. Wow, where do I start with Standard? I've known Standard for a number of years. Again, this is another friendship born over the internet. Standard spent, I want to say, 2 or 3 months working with me on my first manuscript, and an ear and an eye and a mind for poetry that is completely staggering for someone of his relative youth. He wrote a great, the reason why I kind of reached out to him was he had written this amazing book called Nova, and I think it's in the back, which was recognized with the New American Writing Award, is that correct? The New American? New American Poetry Series, which is a Sun and Moon, correct? Sun and Moon.
Yeah, one of the publishers.
Yeah. So it's a great book, and I think one of the things that comes through in the work is we live in an era of a saturation of information, but there are many other things you'll find in his work. I am very proud to introduce to you Standard Chafer.
I'm working on a long poem that's called Water and Power, which is the original title that Robert Townsend wanted to use for Chinatown, but he didn't get to use it, so I'm going to use it. And it's, I don't know how this is going to go over in North Carolina, but this it's sort of about the founding of the West and the American West and frontier mentalities and things, so here I go. Introducing the conclusion of compromise, but first the slight retracements, small reversals in pressure and accommodation, then a surge of revision. And still you demand a confirmation of the territory, the color, pain, and other moving averages. What to some is a three-box reversal, the margins more literal than your need for exegesis. When it is noon and I'm 10 grand short, wind at the back. But since you're my client, I have to protect you from the banana stabbing your throat and the ballyhoo of conditions soon to require it. Still, there is the need to address the space and mange that refuses the rhythm of that lonesome whistle. Little attention is paid to the harness on the wall or big feet in Hot Creek. Just the denunciations of the page that only raise the question of the page itself. But nothing prevents an honorable response to those who refuse to float, or the awful taste of Chinamen in the water. This piece is called The 40s, or The Mountains No One Talks About. Begins or does not at 40, or in the movies, with or without gold, or legal age, whether or not war is work for all. Always with Diamond Lil there is work. Her falsetto heels across the floorboards, like Spanish trickling from the day, a kind of provocation to the violin gradually consuming the lanai, or a climate built on gunpowder. And smeared over the eyes like Rita Hayworth, high on velvet, or was that the girl printed in the background of the check who leased her eyes to the city of Ojai? Or perhaps it was another Miranda altogether who, true to the rites of spring, took her guns, strictly bullets first, and from there was shipped east and west at once by Colonel Capra in the Hollywood canteen to cough out an alibi no brighter or better than Ojai or Odessa. Daisy after daisy, the sky black with ducks, when Disney, against the metaphysics, asked to sit this one out. In Casablanca, like a brand of beer, like trout fat and hard freight, like minor song, brought out to defeat more recent arrivals, such as 12-tone music and a cresting fluorescence. concealed and embodied in the punchline to the fishing guide's joke that he don't mind the reading, but only for knowledge. The valley, returning to its lush, sheep-like devastation, relies very sparingly on the reel, or Veronica Lake and opening day, but knows damn well that with an airport, this town could be as big as Laredo, so is willing to abide the questions and interviews that all boil down to whether or not he is impotent. But the only way to avoid impotence, sincerity, or Hollywood is, as Stravinsky said, to live there once and for all. Peak. The light writes 1,000 lines in the rafter while my hand slowly wavers over the watermarks. The doveskin gloves go on. 4 lines, 12 points, and a damp rage clog the headwaters of the watermarks to come, pressure in the rift and flaws, the glint stalling along the spine. But out there, the light sticks to the exposed corners. Birdsong in the west is only hunger and a sentimental mood. Despite the ubiquity of pain, starring is pain, metal in the root or a moment's notice. But surely it cannot be worthy. The moth flies out the mouth and twice rounds the head before bouncing off the light you so gruffly interjected, a little attrition carelessly sloughed off. This one's called Fissure, and it starts with an epigram by Walt Disney. Our greatest natural resource is the minds of our children. Bride of gunpowder, caviar, and benzodiazepines, she said, liberty is an elephant swimming to Kansas. Her voice, with the French corners, canceled the capricious crag of the sky. But flipping through her eastern pages, exposed corners, a swirl of leaves and a constant laying on of the hands. A city born corrupt, that is to say, capacious. But I blame moonbeams and a mouse that met on a train for hiring the man in the powder blue suit, after which the one with the pin seemed to have the least to do, given his ratio of talent to pillowy clouds and a rabid anti-socialism reflected in a nature film about VD that walked off with an Academy Award. Even old Ez, catching up on some serious foot dangling, watched Uncle Walt. But how long can an empire depend on a distracted child? How many hours extra on the exam, given the custom of being born into it and choosing instead to write? Not exactly highly selected letters to the mountain, but the destruction of California, long overdue, like relatives and residuals coming across the mountains to see the elephant on this burdened archipelago of bad options and enthusiasm. Sluice box, mining car, and a bone-handled knife, some points at gunpoint, others wandering a predatory light. The carbon rubs off on the hands. The doveskin gloves come off. But having the low forehead and being from the south was cold to form. The lions here are not the typical lions. The light is a mess of shadows, chunks of meat. But no fever in the track. These are lions of abstraction. Wind and bluff dip their stems in westward bruises and suck the husks off native insects. Deltas and declivities, elevations and scarcity, scramble towards the bikini of God, so definitely plain. But what settles, what never quite settles, the flimsiest substance, the thinnest of odds, still there is this light guzzling aperture, an increasing taste for game. This is called Convict Lake, where I sometimes fish. Millionaires in their lack of conviction, even in the time of the preacher, year of 01, Ice don't come, but urges do. A million blown lungs down some deleted road where the woods never quite come to a point. An occasional rattlesnake boot appears on the road to Christmas, where forest and wilderness go to rest in smaller and smaller transactions. There's a bolt of blue silk that seems to ask, do you know the law in Inyo County? Well, I'm sure you do. And when you see him coming, you just step aside. Do what you do, but don't interfere. Glad to oblige and hope you'll stay. But as always, the nays seem to have it, and there's no one here by that name. I'll read you two more. This one's called the Los Angeles Times Essay Contest. Refers briefly to a place called Chavez Ravine. Chavez Ravine was a housing, low-income housing tenement that they demolished to build the Dodger Stadium. And it was a deal that was pulled off by Otis Chandler, who owned the LA Times, and some other newspapers conspired to allow this to happen. So, all civilization develops first as agriculture, then as paradox. The bruise that stays bruise hires the rich. Thus, competition is eliminated. Between stacks of documents and standard deviations, roosters tear the night apart and stop only to take credit for the appearance of the sun. But here we deal directly with the Department of the Interior, which today grants a slide or flood, another slow fall of wet checks and muffled timblers that seem to fan out from the epicenter of the ingenue's remark. Hollywood is just gorgeous, she said over breakfast, one speedboat at a time. But each day, it only gets easier to face the mountain lions on Chavez Ravine or the loose type wandering the street. But who can refute the ingenue's song, Sol si puedes, that is, any pew in a saloon? The doubloons of applause are squandered on another forced confession, another freshly baked marriage turned impeccably cruel. Coincident with the fire on the eve of the election that killed the first socialist mayor, just as sure as Jupiter rising over Tickaboo Creek, or the request for the honor of the ice worm's absence, any bank holiday of his choice, not to mention President Lincoln's perpetual buffet, the opening of Madame Tussaud's North Hollywood, San Fernando. But on the hill between any 20 windows, away from the stench of oil, crime is only business by other means, snobbery a form of philosophy. Hence the ballet set for strictly younger elephants, or so many postcards mailed at once from the final 3,000 feet of a baked Alaska not even Otis Chandler could eat, given the indecency of having to address the crowd and the struggle to survive his man on the street. This was a poem I wrote for a wedding I didn't want to attend for some people I didn't like. It's called Through a Bear Republic. Against love in the frontier, the call of the wild seems strictly an amateur's song, the melody of eccentrics whose sense of timing has never been established, though the clock in the center of town still ticks. The arms are nowhere to be found, but little good has come from metaphor, symbol, or Nevada. Only another infuriating set of figures brings any two together. Whether in the name of carpool lanes or an irrational devotion to survival, as the Book of Mormon says, whatever survives must be marriage. The rest is banjo, debt, and hysteria, particularly in the eyes of the saloon owner who finally reconciles himself to our newfound temperance, represented today in the signature on the bottom of a bowl, flutes of champagne. Tomorrow, the squeal of fighter jets and the Army Corps of Engineers attempts to remove the scent of squawfish from our magnolias. But inhaling the spores, we come to eye level with the Comanche and their notion of beauty as a hungry coyote. Who on occasion refuses the extravagance of carrion? But who can refuse the extravagance of coyotes giving the boom and parade permits and the bust and petting parties, leading blessedly to surrender. Blessed, too, are the abandoned minds, the surrender of the Bible salesman at our neighbor's door. But blessed most are those who found their saloons on big rocks and wildfire, for they shall know marriage not as hunger nor as ornament, but as a distillation. What the late Shoshone say, nothing is more loyal or more feeble than a family of wolves, or two hearts that howl in unison, maybe only the flourishing of this bare and blundering love.
Son, you got it. That's amazing.